What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Fear Being Average podcast, episode number 45 of the Health, Fitness, and Performance series. Today's episode, we take a look at 6 keys to adding 10 pounds of lean muscle in 12 months. So a total year of what we're trying to do here. Very important. We highlight the importance of building lean muscle tissue, but then also I give you a formula, a blueprint of what to follow. I basically clear the path and give you a roadmap to success within this podcast. Obviously, I created the SFR training program in January that gives 12 months of intelligently designed programming to my members and community to help them put these strategies in place. These are the strategies that I constantly engage and discuss with that community. But now we're going to give out some of those tools to you guys right now in the next 50 minutes so you guys can understand how best to approach the goal of 10 pounds in lean muscle tissue and basically guarantee this is going to happen with this smart, intelligent, strategic approach. All right, everybody, enjoy today's episode. Like always, please subscribe, rate, and follow, and share if you want this to be viewed and listened to by more people in your network. All right, everybody, enjoy the podcast. All right, so how do we put on 10 pounds of lean muscle over the next 12 months? Definitely an admirable goal. I wouldn't even say ambitious. I think it's very practical for the majority of my audience and the people listening to this podcast, because if you haven't really pursued a lot of lean muscle mass over the years, like say you haven't been someone who's really dove into training to put on muscle, you still are going to have relative newbie gains when you really put everything together, right? There's a big difference between someone who's been training for 5 years sporadically, inconsistently, maybe improperly in terms of putting on more muscle, compared to the person who's really gone after it and has used a lot of the techniques we've talked about, has been really consistent, really diligent with their training and their recovery and what they're eating and the practices they've used. Those are two different five-year periods, right? The person who's been really diligent and on point over the last 5 years, they're going to have a much harder time putting on 10 pounds of lean muscle tissue in the next 12 months than the person that's been relatively sporadic and ill-informed of what techniques and practices they've engaged in, right? Me training to put on muscle compared to the person who's done group classes for 5 years, they're going to have a much easier time to put on muscle because they've never actually pursued that. They've more so pursued exercise and health and a little bit of strength training, where for me, it's been primarily get stronger, build muscle tissue, increase metabolism, stress the body, add demand to what I'm doing. So obviously I have come closer to my, for lack of a better word, genetic potential of lean muscle tissue, or at least at this weight, right? Compared to the person who's never really put on a bunch of muscle, obviously they're going to have much more room to put on lean muscle tissue. Their body's ready and primed for a new stress, a new demand. And when you give your body a new stress and a new demand and a new approach to training, and you actually start training in regards to putting on lean muscle tissue and getting your body stronger, man, you're going to have a nice response, right? Just like me as a teenager. Obviously, the most muscle I put on was probably between age 15 to age 22, right? Those first 7 years was a big dose of what I was going to accomplish in terms of doing it the right way, at least, right? If I was doing it the right way, that's probably going to be a really big time where I see the greatest return on my investment, i.e. exercising and training in that period of time compared to from 22 to 32, which is 10 years, 3 years more than that 7 year period, I've probably seen a fraction of what the gains I saw between 15 to 22, just because my body is more primed at that point. I'm sending it a completely new stress that it's not used to, and it's going to adapt very favorably. So the longer you train properly, the less room there is to put on more muscle. And that's not a bad thing. I'm happy with how my body looks. So even if I have, you know, a 2 pound increase of lean muscle this year, or I add 5 pounds to my bench press, I'm going to be really happy because I've hit numbers and I've hit a amount of lean muscle tissue that is really high, right? So I'm getting close to my cap. Now, obviously, you know, I have a lot more to still go, but from a natural genetic standpoint of not force feeding food, feeling good, having a healthy body weight for my size, you know, I'm pretty close to that, right? There's definitely still room to grow. There's still things to switch. There's still new demands that I can put on the body to see favorable physiological development and growth. But, you know, just going back to it, if you're someone who's never really put in years and years of consistency behind this sort of training and doing it the right way with proper technique, which is, you know, it's 90% of people, let's just, you know, call a spade, you're going to have a great opportunity, excuse me, to put on that 10 pounds of muscle, and it's rather possible. It's highly probable that you're going to do that with the right formula in place, and we're going to discuss that formula today. Every podcast, I probably make mention of the importance of lean muscle tissue, but just to go over it one more time, when we're putting on lean muscle tissue, we are getting stronger. We're having a greater muscle to fat ratio, which is great for health. We're increasing our strength, which is the leading cause for all-cause mortality. Let me just say that one more time. How strong your body is in direct correlation with how long you are going to live. That is powerful stuff right there, right? So again, I always talk about things in terms of health span compared to lifespan. Now, not only does adding muscle and becoming stronger increase lifespan, which is how long you're going to live, but it dramatically affects your health span, which is the quality of life into those late years of your life. So rather than being 85 and 90 and feeling like I'm dependent on other people and I lack mobility and strength and I'm kind of suffering through the later years of my life, health span is thriving at those ages, still being able to do the things you want to do, living without pain, being physically, emotionally, and mentally stable, engaged, and healthy. That's the difference between health span and lifespan. So really important. Lean muscle tissue, also from a psychological standpoint, you are bettering your body, right? You are 100% giving yourself greater confidence in how you look and how you feel and how you approach social situations, feel better about yourself. From an evolutionary standpoint, you are more capable. You are more dependable. You are someone that the community and tribe can look at as a real resource and leader, right? Because obviously, if you're faster and stronger and more capable and more durable and resilient, you are more of an asset than the person that is not those things. The slow person, the person that lacks motivation and drive and strength, and they're easily broken and fragile, they're not a main contributor of a successful tribe, right? In that format, at least, from an evolutionary standpoint, they're usually looked at as a liability. Obviously, days have changed, but that still holds some truth behind it, obviously, right? The idea of being a protector and a provider and someone that will live a long time so they can give back to their community and their tribe and family. Very, very important there. Back to the physical improvements, right? Obviously, our body's going to function at a greater rate. We're going to have more energy. We are going to have more drive, more vitality, more vigor. We are going to have more stamina and durability and strength, things that are just incredibly important to a high-quality, thriving life. Those are characteristics of people that we admire and things that we want to possess because our life becomes better when we have a greater resource of healthy characteristics like that, right? You're able to perform better at work. You're able to be more mindful and connect with greater ease and be more logical, not as irrational. You're not someone who necessarily has these mood swings or these low spots in your day when you take care of your body. So lean muscle mass has so much more, you know, contribution to your quality of life than just looking a certain way, right? It typically has a direct correlation with lower stress levels, right? Obviously, visceral fat and having a greater, fat to lean muscle ratio is typically correlated and connected to more stress, more anxiety, obviously decreased health markers, cardiovascular health, physiological markers like metabolism, and our ability to have healthy hormones, healthy thyroid, healthy digestion, all things are just limitations when those things aren't maximized. So important to put on lean muscle tissue. And I love that people are exercising, but I really promote and advocate, hence why I built up a couple different communities online with the Strength Squad and then the SFR community, which is actually now programming for people. I now give them the tools and the direct programming of how they can train their body rather than giving them the tools but not outlining the exact blueprint. Now I'm actually giving people the exact blueprint. And the reason I did that was I wanted to give people access to a clear, tangible program that can help them build lean muscle tissue, because I don't trust the majority of people to know how to do it or actually do it on their own terms, because they're going to go back to the things that they enjoy doing or they're comfortable doing or that they know how to do, right? That's why we see things like Beachbody and group classes thrive, because they're simple in terms of, let's just do this, short rest periods, keep the body moving, work on a sweat, get the heart rate up, stuff we've been told and sold for so long, which can be good for health, to certain aspects, obviously. Obviously, you can get a little bit murky when we talk about overly stressing the body with that kind of high intensity workload, but it's not very favorable to building lean muscle tissue. There is a formula and there's science backed on how to do this optimally and how to get the most out of your body so it becomes stronger, fitter, more conditioned, holds on to more lean tissue, has a greater lean tissue to body fat ratio, so better healthy body composition, and obviously it is just performing at a greater rate. We're moving better. We have less susceptibility to injury because we've actually built our body stronger and added protective tissue to it. So for me, that's one of the biggest reasons I went out and started building these things for my community, because I really wanted to make sure they were maximizing and optimizing the potential to build this muscle, because it's so protective, it's so important, it's so valuable that those are the things that we're going to have a harder time. The older we get, it's not saying at 60 and 70 we can't put on muscle, but things get a little bit more difficult at that age, especially if we have a lot of setbacks and then we have to rectify imbalances or asymmetries or deficits within the body and how our biomechanics are. That becomes trickier, right? It's like once there's a habit built and there's a lot of things to rectify, it's harder because now we got to do that before we throw you into a routine that's really built on lean muscle tissue. So it just makes our process a little longer at that time, and I'd rather catch it before we have to nullify and rectify all the things that we need to fix, right? Let's make sure we build it before we need to fix it, then build it back up, obviously, right? It makes sense to build the foundation properly the first time, then have to build it, break it on down, take it on down, and then build it up again, right? That's obviously more time consuming, and you're less likely to actually stick to a routine that requires more time. Doesn't mean you can't do it, just less, there's less possibility or less chances, so decrease likelihood that you're going to get that done, okay? So let's kind of dive into the 6 keys to adding 10 pounds of lean muscle in 12 months. This is how you're going to do it, guys. First one, mindset has to be on point. When you're building muscle, when you're taking on an approach and a plan built around adding lean muscle tissue, you need to have the mindset that you're going to build muscle this year. So you have to take yourself out of the mindset of constantly eating in a calorie deficit, constantly, driving your body towards cardio or high intensity movement patterns. You have to get away from the idea that, hey, I might actually put on a little bit of weight this year, that I'm going to be training differently, that I'm going to have to train a little bit harder. I'm going to educate myself a little bit more. I have to follow something I might not be all that comfortable doing, or I might have very limited knowledge about. So you have to have a different mindset, because exercising mindset is show up and move your body, compared to training mindset is I'm going to take my body to new heights and new standards, and I'm going to add stress weekly and monthly, and I'm going to do new things. I'm going to have a learning curve to these new movements, and the demands are going to be much higher than what I'm typically used to. And I'm going to be eating more food, right? And I'm going to be cutting out the bad stuff and adding in more lean protein and healthy carbohydrates, and things are going to get my body to perform better. And we need to start focusing on performance rather than what's happening on the scale. Like, there's so many little shifts that have to be made. So going in there without that mindset, you are going to fail. Because if you still have the mindset of someone who wants to lose, someone who wants to look leaner, get quote-unquote toned, which is ironically building muscle tissue, right? If you want to have a more toned body, build muscle. If you just, you know, go in a deficit and you drop some weight and you're not nurturing, putting on muscle, or at least maintaining muscle, you're going to look more toned, but you're going to be doing that through loss of muscle tissue, which is a really poor strategy, obviously, right? That's making your body less optimal and making things more difficult to maintain the weight and performance that you're currently having. It will probably come at the expense of energy levels and healthy hormones, which we don't want to do, right? So the mindset is so, so important when you're taking on a journey built around training. And this is going to take time. Like, I want to preface this by saying, when you're looking to build and add muscle tissue and switch up your training mindset from exercise to actually working out and training, this takes months, right? Most clients of mine, they resist and they fight early on because they're doing something counterintuitive to the mass narrative that's presented to them online. And more now, maybe it's the people that I follow, but I'm starting to see more females talk about lifting heavy and eating more food and showing the before and after pictures of them at the same weight, yet or a pound heavier, and their body looks dramatically better, stronger, fitter, more conditioned, healthier, right? They're thriving, yet they've gained weight on the scale, but they have a much better body fat percentage. They have a better BMR and BMI. They're just thriving and they feel better. They're eating more. They're not tired. They don't have low energy. Their hormones are on point. They're not missing their period. They're not foggy with their logic, or they're not, you know, dramatically fatigued all day long. So like, there's so many wins. So I'm loving to see that online more. I'm not sure if it's just my feed, because that's the stuff I, you know, obviously watch and engage with. So it makes sense that I probably get more of that on my feed on Instagram, for example, compared to the person that follows the weight loss person or the, you know, fad diet or fad exercise program. They're probably going to be presented and marketed with bullshit, right? That kind of highlights that narrative. So you need to get your mindset on point that, yes, you're going to have these ups and downs in the year where a scale is going to maybe go up even. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Let me clarify. Let's just say in a two-month period, you gain 4 pounds of muscle, okay? Early on, your body really responds to training, but you don't lose any body fat, but you've gained muscle. So that's good, okay? Who cares if you lost body fat? You gained 4 pounds of lean muscle tissue. Phenomenal. Guess what? If we didn't lose fat, but we gained muscle, what's going to happen on the scale? Yeah, the scale's going to go up 4 pounds. Like, who cares? It's 4 really good, beneficial, valuable pounds. That's actually going to make your body fat percentage decrease, right? If we've taken our pounds up by 4, but we added 4 pounds of muscle, that's naturally going to drop the fat to muscle ratio. So it's good. Even though the scale is a bit of a mind fuck and you're like, whoa, what just happened? I put on 4 pounds. This program's not working. It's like, no, if you're eating right, training right, recovering right, guess what? And you're getting stronger. Those 4 pounds are good pounds. That's a mindset shift. It's a reframe. I've had clients. I had one client. I remember her body was looking great. She was improving a lot. And she didn't want to get over a number on the scale. But she saw her weight, I think, maybe went up a pound or so, but her waist was shrinking and her body composition was changing for the better, and she felt stronger and she was eating more, and yet she was still worried about the scale, saying, I don't want to go up anymore. But I'm like, at this rate, your waist is shrinking, Your butt's growing and getting lifted. Your body's looking tighter. If anything is an indication that we should want more weight to go up on the scale, it's that. We're literally seeing every marker that you wanted off the bat when you hired me to train you online is moving upwards. Why would the scale be something that you're afraid of when all the markers that you're happy about are moving in the right direction and all the things you wanted to, you know, improve are improving, right? Waist is shrinking, butt and body's looking better, looking tighter, looking stronger, moving more weight. What are we talking about here? But it was a mindset thing, and I didn't push it. I didn't force feed it because I said, it's going to be on you to understand that the weight moving up on a scale or staying the same, that's no indication of your success or not. We're focused on strength. We're focused on performance. We're focused on healthy habits. When you do those things, you don't have to worry about what's happening on the scale. Just focus on those markers. Everything will work out for the better, and there's a good way to do it. You don't want to be a jackass about it and just start eating 2,000 calories more than you're used to because you've heard eating more is going to be good for you. No, you want to take it in stride. You want to be smart with it. So I get mindset's going to be a bit of an issue, but you need to reframe what you're focusing on. What are the things that you really need to look at in terms of progression and progress? And that's going to help you big time. Expect there to be moments where you question it and you go, oh my God, I'm looking even a little bit. Sometimes it happens where your body's looking a little bit fuller. So your muscles are getting bigger, but maybe in certain areas, your body's not looking as optimal as you want. But guess what? That's okay. There's going to be a time where we cut back a little bit. We maintain the muscle mass that you developed, right? That you put onto your body. And then we're going to reduce it back down. You're going to actually going to cut some body fat. So we're going to keep the muscle. The body's going to look stronger, more full, more dense in terms of more, you know, sculpted and aesthetic looking body. But then we're going to actually take off the body fat. And it might be 1 or 2 pounds here and there. When you eat more calories, it happens. But again, if it's 6 pounds of muscle to 2 pounds of fat or 6 pounds of muscle to 0 pounds of fat, it doesn't matter. It's okay. Like, we're going to be smart with it. Don't get nervous about things after 1 or 2 months. Like, trust the process. Let it develop. Let it blossom. Every person that looks absolutely amazing online or in front of you that did it the right way had periods where they had to eat a little bit more than they wanted to. Their body was transforming in a way that wasn't always linear or consistent with what their goals were, but it was for the greater good. The things were working in terms of what they were working towards. It was just a little bit of a mind fuck in terms of how things were looking at certain periods along the process. Okay, moving on. We are looking at periodization and phasing. So, fancy word for switching up your workout, right? As you switch things up, as you phase your training, so let's just say, I'm gonna keep it really simple for you guys, not to overwhelm or complicate things. You have a phase of strength, you have a phase of muscle growth, so hypertrophy. You might have a phase of muscular endurance or power training, for example. Then you go back to strength, and then you focus on hypertrophy again, which is i.e. muscle growth, and then you go back to some power. That's phasing 101. You're literally just going and focusing on a primary specific goal at a time. It's not, I'm gonna chase fat loss and strength and muscle growth and power all in one phase. No, and we don't do that year round. It's not 12 months of that consistent strategy. Phasing and periodization is simply having periods of time throughout the year where you focus on a specific intent and goal. So crucial, so important. This is why training and following a intelligently written plan is so important. If you just go to gyms and you do stuff, you do boot camps, you do classes, you do things of that nature, do online things like a Beachbody, they're not going to periodize and phase your training really well. Those things are built around the sweat. They're built on getting your body moving, having fun, building up a sense of community, you know, getting the sweat on, losing some weight. They're not going to structure it that way. First off, they probably don't know how to structure it in an appropriate manner. Like, again, being a trainer, being a successful strength coach takes time, takes a lot of education, a lot of reading on how to do it well, how to articulate it to your clients so they actually listen and trust your process. Lots of that. It's easier not to fucking phase for people and just give them random shit to do, obviously. Right now, I don't got to explain. I don't got to try to convince you. I don't have to, you know, switch or reframe your mindset. We're going to give you exactly what you want. Who cares if it works or not? You're going to be happy because we're doing something that your friend was doing. But again, if we're looking to put on lean muscle tissue, especially 10 pounds in 12 months, we need to phase our workouts. We need to stick to something long enough that we get better at it, that we add stress, we add demand, but we don't stay there too long where our body adapts. And this happens. A lot of research shows anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks, your body starts getting very adapted and used to the stress that you're supplying it. Your body's never going to get stronger or build more muscle tissue by accident. It needs a reason to do that. The reason would be an increased demand, right? We're going to get into how we can actually increase that demand very shortly. But periodization, incredibly important to get you guys shifting mindsets, get you guys shifting out of specific goals and intentions and being really excited about the phase that you're in, right? And then you can look forward to, wow, we're going to be in a strength phase for the next 4 to 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks. And when I say that, it would look different. Your strength phase can 100% last 12 weeks. I usually stick around that, right? However, each month or 4 to 6 period, it's going to look slightly different, right? Strength, anything around 5 reps or less. Pretty good, easy general rule, right? 5 reps is typically somewhere between that medium of strength and hypertrophy, especially the 4s, 3s, 2s, and 1s. So the 4s, the 3s, the 2s, and the 1s, when we start hitting that amount of weight, and the low rep ranges, that's going to be really strength oriented. So maybe we do 4 weeks where we're doing 5x5s. And then we do a little bit of a phase that's still strength, but now we're going to hit some triples. And then our last phase of strength, we're going to slowly work our way to some doubles and some singles. Or we do some overcoming isometrics, or we do some fun, cool techniques like adding accommodating resistance, for example, and adding load that way, and we manipulate the stress. So I can still do a 12-week strength phase, but make things look different phase to phase, and that's the key. Or you can keep it really simple and do 6 weeks of strength, and then you kind of shift over to hypertrophy, and then you go to a power phase. And that, I really think, matters for the individual. If this was an athlete of mine, I'd say, hey, we're gonna have to do it the right way to really maximize the results and make sure you peak properly. For the average individual, approach is totally fine, right? Because they're not looking to bring their best physique ever. They're not looking to get 8% or 12% or 10% body fat necessarily. They're looking to be healthier. They're looking to get stronger. They're looking to change up their body composition for the better. So there we can be a little less technical, give a little bit more leeway and freedom, and keep them interested in what they're doing. So it really depends on what you're comfortable doing, what you're happy to do, what keeps you excited and enthused, and then we'll build a program around that. Okay, moving on, I talked about how we can actually increase the stress and demand. We're looking at progressive overload. So we need to overload the system, right? We need to give the nervous system, the muscular system, a reason to want to build muscle. Like I said, if we always stick to 3 sets by 10 reps, at a given weight with a given exercise, our body's gonna get really good at it. That's a good thing, right? So that way we can do that same thing over and over and over and not beat the crap out of the body, not feel drained. And that works really well if you think about, you know, carpenters, you think about mechanics, you think about people in the oil rigs, people doing dealing with like lumber out in the lumber yards. Something of that nature, something that's very demanding physically, guess what? Their body adapts to the stress, right? So it allows them to become very efficient at what they're doing day after day. If they were always as in pain from how they felt day one or day two or the week one, they wouldn't really stick around that job too often, right? Because they'd be like, man, this is hard on the body. You know, my body's not used to it. It feels tight. It feels tense. But guess what? Their body starts getting used to the load, to the movement, to the mechanics, and the demand it has to be placed under. And it gets a lot better and more efficient, like I said. So that makes sense. The body adapts to keep us alive and keep us thriving under the certain circumstances and situation that we're placed in. However, when we're looking to build muscle and get our body to adapt even more, so to become more efficient, become even stronger, become better, perform at a greater level, become faster, we need to give it a greater stress. Hence why we phase and we periodize, right? If all of a sudden I build up this strength base, right? And I get a lot stronger over an 8 to 12 week period. And then I switch over to muscle building. It's a different phase, a different shift in training. We're doing a different rep range. We're maybe slowing the movement down and focusing more on the negative. We're using lighter weight, more time under tension. It's just a different stress, right? Less fast twitch, high motor unit movements. And we're going to highlight a little bit more on the metabolic stress side of things than pure mechanical tension. So it's a new stress. Then we're able to put on muscle because it's new, it's novel, right? It's a new sort of stimulus to the body. So it's forced to adapt to that. Then after we get out of that phase, we've put on a few pounds of muscle. When we go back to a strength phase, we now have the assistance and the luxury of a few more pounds of muscle to move lower rep ranges. And when that happens, we're able to move more weight because not only are we stronger, but with that new phase that we were just in where we put on all that muscle, we come back with more cross-sectional area with the strength that we built 12 weeks ago, or at that point it would have been, 12 weeks ago. And now you're really living in a great place. Not only are you stronger, but you have more muscle mass and you kind of keep that game going, right? And maybe you go into a power phase where you're able to move weight really explosively. So you have a greater connection, you have a greater firing rate. And then when you move into a strength phase, you have more muscle, you have more strength, but now you have the ability to transfer that muscle and strength into moving weight with speed, right? You have a greater muscle fiber recruitment rate, and you're able to fire all those muscles at a really high level and degree. Now we're able to move even more weight at that point. We're able to move more weight, you build even more muscle. And when you get stronger and you're moving more weight, there's more demand, you put on even more lean tissue. Like, it's this crazy cool cycle where each phase complements the next. So progressive overload, yes, is that demand. How do we progressively overload? We can add weight to the bar. So if we always do the same weight week in, week out, and we don't see the weight moving up, especially 10 weeks, 12 weeks, 16 weeks, that's a problem. We should be able, especially with the big compound multi-joint movements like the squat, the deadlift, the row, the pull-up, the bench press, the overhead press, those movements 100% should see the weight move up over a period of time, if not weekly, early on, right? If you're in a new strength phase, you should be looking to add a little bit more weight with great control, mind you, every week or two, right? But that's one form of progressive overload. Another form's adding sets, right? So if we add another set next week, regardless if it's for the same amount of reps, let's say last week we did 3 sets by 10 reps, and this week we're doing 4 sets. The first 3 sets are 10 reps. It doesn't matter if that next set is for 1 rep or 10 reps, that's technically more overall volume, right? If we were to times sets times reps times weight, the weight would be greater the week after, because regardless if we did 1 more rep or 10 more reps, obviously it's more weight total. We can also add reps. So going back to that same strategy, if we're able to add in, rather than doing 3 sets by 10, next week we feel a little bit stronger, a little bit more in control of our movement pattern. We have a greater connection and greater stability to what we're doing, and we end up getting maybe 3 sets by 11 reps, and then 3 by 11, let's just say. So we add a rep to each set, let alone 1 set. That's a form of progressive overload. We did more than we did last week. We are doing more progressive overload. You can also progressively overload by improving the proficiency of your technique and mechanics, right? So if you become better at moving the weight more efficiently and you're targeting the muscle more appropriately, or you're able to recruit more muscle fibers or more muscles in the movement, that is a form of progressive overload, because naturally that's going to equate to a few more reps, another set, or greater work capacity or more weight on the bar because you're becoming more proficient at something. So obviously your body is adapting and becoming stronger and more connected. And then finally, you can add range of motion. If you, you know, go down to a squat and you go to, let's just say, 65 degrees with a particular weight and you get a little bit uncomfortable and you don't go any lower than that. If the next week you go down even deeper, right, and you increase your range of motion, which naturally is going to engage more musculature, that's a form of progressive overload. So if we can, now again, this, there is a point of diminishing returns. I'm not saying that everything has to be lower, 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 but if someone's bench pressing and they're hovering 4 inches above their chest compared to getting a full deep stretch to their chest and having the bar touch before they press the bar away from their chest, that's an increase in demand and stress. So it's a form of progressive overload. So the typical ones, the weight, the sets, and the reps, the main ones, the more unique, underutilized ones, range of motion and mechanics. I typically like to think if we're in a strength phase, the weight is my big thing. You know, once I can push a little bit more weight on the bar, that's what I'm kind of pursuing, right? In terms of more of a hypertrophy phase, I'm looking to accumulate more total volume. So if I'm doing something for 3 sets by 10, for example, I'm going to really try to get by the end of my hypertrophy phase, maybe another 1 or 2 or 3 reps on the bar. And when that happens, then I can go back to 3 by 10 but with greater weight, more weight on the bar. Same thing with reps. Maybe I can muster out another 2 or 3 reps. I have more comfort behind what I'm doing, more proficiency behind what I'm doing, and I have maybe a greater routine and connection to what I'm doing. So I'm able to muster out a few more reps, get a little bit more demand, create a little bit more time around effective reps, which is a real thing, right? Usually when we do high volume work of, so let's say 15 to 20 reps, the first 10 to 12 aren't very effective. They're not the things that are building the muscle tissue. What does build the muscle tissue is those effective reps, the reps that start really putting demand on the body. So reps 14 to 16 to 18 to 20, those are the reps that are really going to count for the majority of the growth that you're going to experience. The first 8 to 10 reps, they're not really doing much at all. If you stop there with a weight that you could push for 15, 20 reps, you're not going to see any muscle mass get built. You need to get yourself more in those effective reps. Hence why I like training a little bit lower. It puts a little bit more demand on the body, a little bit more urgency to get to those effective reps more appropriately. And there's some research that showed German volume training doing 10 sets by 10 reps was just as effective as doing 5 sets by 10 reps of the same weight. The reason being, when you have German volume training and you do 5 sets by 10 reps, it's, let's just say, 75% intensity, where those 10 reps with those 5 sets are done pretty damn hard. Like, this is a decent demand on the body. Where with typical German volume training, which is 10 sets by 10 reps, you're using a lower intensity, so somewhere around 60% intensity of your 1 rep max. And the first 5 sets really aren't that challenging, but what you're banking on is that accumulative fatigue. But when they did the research, the 5 sets by 10 reps at 75% was just as effective, if not a little bit more effective, than the 10 by 10 because there's a little bit greater intensity and they had more opportunity to engage in those effective reps compared to the 10 by 10 group, which almost had no real relevancy with the first 5 sets because the demand was so low. If anything, you can argue more proficiency, more opportunity to practice a movement, but I would argue that those first 5 sets, I would have definitely, or rather, put that 5 sets and that time into a totally different movement with more demand on my body. But that's just an example of why we want to get to those effective reps as quickly as possible. All right, moving on to eating more protein, increasing clean calories. Yes, to build muscle, especially putting 10 pounds of lean muscle mass on in 12 months, you need to eat more food. Specifically, more protein. How much protein? I wrote an ebook on this, not just on protein, but on optimizing your nutrition, 104 pages. Feel free to purchase it at brandrenka365.com. I think it's like $14 right now, so it's a good buy. It gives you a lot of the basic stuff you should know to optimize your nutrition. Basically, anybody that was starting this process out, I'd say definitely go get that. It's going to give you basically everything you need to know off the bat. And what we highlight in that ebook is protein. I think we have a whole chapter on it, and we talk a lot about what is a sufficient protein intake. Research is pretty consistent with this now. If you're looking to really put on lean muscle tissue and improve the absorption and the muscle cell activation and increasing protein, muscle protein synthesis post-workout and throughout the day and having optimal recovery, we want to be somewhere between 0.6 to 1 gram per pound of body weight. I'm pretty sure in the ebook I talk about 0.7 to 1 gram per pound of body weight, but over the last year I've heard a lot more on 0.6, so I'm becoming a little bit more generous. But I like to aim for people getting around 1 gram per pound of body weight unless you're really overweight or obese. Then I would say 0.7 grams per pound of body weight, because at that point I want to take in consideration that you have more fat on your body than the average person, and I don't want you eating all that protein based on your weight that could be a majority of it being fat. But if you're somewhat lean or, you know, not much fat on your body, aim for 1 gram per pound. That's totally fine. I eat around 1.2 grams per pound. So I'm 175 pounds. I typically eat 1.1, so about 190, maybe 200 grams on average. That's not hurting me whatsoever. Eating low would hurt me. And when I say low, I mean like under 100 grams of protein. I probably wouldn't recover as fast. Not to toot my own horn, but I recover really well. If you don't know my story, obviously the 10 half Ironmans and 10 days across Canada plus 50,000 pounds of lifting at 1.5 times my body weight after each one of those half Ironmans in the summer, I was keeping protein quite high. I train a lot. I put my body under a lot of demand, a lot of stress, and I equate a lot of my recovery to movement and circulation, but also a lot of healthy, clean calories and lots of protein. Protein's not just a muscle building macronutrient. It is a muscle preserving and muscle recovering macronutrient. So incredibly important that we get more protein in our diet, especially for even keeping our weight when we start looking to lean down, maybe at the end of the 12 months where we say, you know what, I love the growth, I love the strength, I love the muscle I've put on, but I want to trim down just a little bit, right? Having a lot of protein in your diet can really help. It's probably one of the main things to help with keeping muscle mass, even when in a calorie deficit, let alone in a calorie surplus around calorie maintenance. So really important we get way more protein in our diet. Tons of sources. I'm in that ebook. I have a whole layout of protein sources that you can absorb, and the importance of post-workout nutrition as well, and even pre-workout nutrition, getting some protein in the diet to help with greater muscle protein synthesis and optimal recovery and amino acid profiles as you work out to prevent muscle breakdown. Really important, right? And then increasing clean calories, we need to eat more food. You know, if we're trying to put on 10 pounds of lean muscle in 12 months, we can't eat in a deficit. We can't even eat just in maintenance. You know, like maybe initially we can eat around maintenance because you are probably living in a calorie deficit, but we need more clean muscle building calories. I just had a podcast. I think my last podcast, episode 44, is how to eat more clean muscle building calories. So this is a perfect segue into this podcast. So go back to the last one, watch it or listen to it, and you'll get a better better clarification of how to actually consume more clean muscle building calories. Because some people have a really hard time getting more protein in their diet. They don't know where the protein sources come from. They don't know how to, obviously protein is very satiated, has the highest thermic effect of all macronutrients. So their body is burning at a higher rate, and they typically get fuller, obviously, faster, and they don't really know why. Now, what's going to complement that is training with a really good approach, right? Having a good training program is going to be really important, because the more weight you lift and the higher the demand on the body, you will see an increase in your appetite. So it's so important. People that are trying to build and get more food in their diet for more protein and more clean calories to build muscle, but they're doing these bullshit workouts that aren't sending the signal to build or grow, they don't have a great appetite. When you start lifting heavy weights and start really putting a good, strong training program together, that's when you'll see this massive shift of, wow, I'm hungry and I want more food, typically more satiating, nutrient-dense foods. And the clean carbohydrates are really important. There's a lot that we can get into in terms of the type of carbohydrates, when you want them, what kind of carbohydrates. Typically, put a lot of them around your workout, peri-workout, right? Pre, post-workout, a lot of clean carbohydrates. So we want to obviously get the insulin spiked post-workout. That's a massive contributor to building lean muscle tissue. It's going to help with muscle protein breakdown. It's going to help with muscle protein synthesis. It's going to help repair and replenish your glycogen levels. It's going to help with the breakdown of muscle, or preventing the breakdown of muscle. So basically having a positive net protein balance. So really important that we consume a lot. What was the number they said? I think it was 1 gram of carb per kilogram of body weight. So yes, do that mathematics. For a kilogram body weight, you divide your current body weight by 2.2, and that would be your body weight in kilograms. So at 175 pounds divided by 2, I think it comes to about 75 kilograms. So I would do about 75 grams of carbohydrates pre-workout and post-workout as well. So that's the main time where your muscles are most sensitive to the nutrition that it gets into your body is post-workout and pre-workout. So you want to make sure that we're shuttling those nutrients and those amino acids and those muscle building nutrients into your system as fast as possible, into your muscle bellies, compared to being stored in your liver, right? So moving on to optimizing recovery, very important and undervalued. Guys, if you're looking to build lean muscle tissue this year, especially 10 pounds of it in 12 months, you have to nurture your recovery. I'm going to post a YouTube video today on the best recovery practices you're not doing. So it will be up Thursday, the 27th. We're already the 27th? Wow. 27th of January. I'm going to post it on YouTube. It's going to be a video talking about that. But you want to maximize recovery. You want to have good, sufficient sleep. You want to prioritize sleep. I'm telling you, your body, you can do all the right stuff. You have a great mindset. And mindset goes right into this, by the way. If you're looking to have a mindset shift of putting on muscle, you're going to have to say, hey, I need to do a way better job of nurturing my recovery. I'm gonna do a way better job of prioritizing sleep and rest and recovery and nourishment and managing stress. Incredibly important. So when we're talking about optimizing recovery, I'm talking about stress management. I'm talking about having more opportunity to refocus your body, right? Or defocus your mind from work and stress and high demands on the system. Right, we want to be smart about this, right? We want to make sure when we train and we have our big foundational workouts throughout the week, whether it's 3-day full body or a 4-day split, or we're adding in a couple of conditioning sessions, whatever it is, we're smart. We're taking advantage of saying, hey, I sent my body a massive signal in the gym to build. But guess what? We don't build muscle in the gym. We break down. We literally do something that is anti-tissue in the gym, that we break down muscle tissue. Where the growth takes place is after the fact. That's why recovery days can be renamed growth days. And I do that with my app sometimes, or the app that I use, sorry, for my clientele. I'll put recovery, i.e. growth days, to get them into the mindset that, hey, today's where growth takes place. Today's not a day where you fuck off and you don't do anything. No, today is where you actually, you know, improve recovery, increase circulation, you eat well, and you let your body adapt to what it did the day before, right? If we constantly send more and more demand on the body, it's basically like never letting a wound heal. Like if we keep rubbing dirt in it over and over and over, we're only going to fuck up the wound. We need to give the wound time to heal and almost build a callus on it, right? If we constantly just beat up the body, we're never going to get the growth. We're always going to be in a recovery state. And if we're always in a recovery state, we don't actually see an improvement in our physiology, and we don't see the lean tissue that we were told we were going to get in 12 months. So this is a big part of it, right? So yes, stress management, making sure we take care of that. Sleep is a big one. Best thing I can tell you guys, just prioritize it. Set a routine. Make it part of your day. Like I go to bed at 10:30. So at 9:30, I'm going to get my head shifted into that mindset. I'm going to quiet things down. I'm going to turn the TV off. I'm going to, you know, put on my blue light blockers. I'm going to turn off all the lights and put on more dim lighting, whether it's candles or lighter lamps. And I'm going to wear my blue light blockers, like I said, create a darker environment, a colder environment. I'm not going to be high stress. I'm going to do things that relax my body. And you're going to protect that. Like that's probably the best word I can use to describe this. Protect your last hour or two. Like set a routine and rituals in place to make sure your body gets a chance to rest and have your circadian rhythm on point where it actually starts releasing melatonin, right? If we're doing high stress, sympathetic things where we're kind of jacking the body up and getting it super stimulated, we're not going to release melatonin, right? We're not going to set the body up for a restful night's sleep. And we're going to have a lot of chaos. And I've seen this with clientele where they have chaotic nighttime rituals and they have no structure. And I go, you're kind of fucked. Like you are. Like you can do all the other right stuff. It's just not going to help because you're going to have poor sleep leads to more cravings. If you want to talk about hormones, growth hormone, melatonin, testosterone, optimize between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. That's when they're highest, at their peak. Imagine if you don't nurture that time in your day, that the best time of day where you can actually maximize recovery, you're completely neglecting and interfering with. Bad, bad strategy. So you need to do a way better job. If you're getting up in the middle of the night, change up your routine. If you're having poor sleeps, change up your routine. If you're feeling tired and drained and fatigued, change up your routine. You got to do it or you're not going to get the results you want. Like there's no point at this point. And I don't want to say no point, but you're really missing the boat and it's going to be really hard to stay consistent when you don't see results come back. You don't see return on investment. Like people aren't that patient. We're not that motivated and we don't keep the end in mind. We want to see some resemblance of results, and that's where clients will fall off when results don't match their work because they're only doing a quarter of the work, yet they still think they should get 100% of the pie. It just doesn't work that way. All right, and last one, kind of going off that, stay consistent. I will use a quote that I hear from Sal DiStefano from Mind Pump. He says, "A good workout done consistently is better than a great workout done inconsistently." So what that means is consistency is that important. I'd rather you do a good workout consistently than a great workout inconsistently. And you see this. The people that are in good shape, the majority of the population, when you're like, that person's in pretty good shape. They look healthy. 80% of them don't know what the fuck they're doing at the gym really. Okay? If I ask them what the routine looks like, what this muscle's doing, the mechanics, the structure of the routine, what they eat, they really don't know. Like there's so many times I go into a gym or I work with a client for the first time and they're in good shape. They're healthy. They're thriving. And I'm correcting a shit ton of stuff. It's not a shot at them. It's just the reality of the situation. The reason being that they look the way they look and their body is developed in a way that looks really healthy and looks relatively fit because they're consistent. They love exercise. They love working out. They love training. So they get good results, right? Now imagine you pair that with a proper mindset to building muscles, some periodization and phasing, some progressive overload, eating more protein, increasing clean calories, optimizing recovery. Now we have a great physique. Now we have a physique that adds 10 pounds of muscle, which now becomes much more protected, becomes much more durable, much more resilient, much less injury prone. Now we're really talking. We're creating a bulletproof body. You're close to it, and we're really doing our best to take care of all the big stones. So staying consistent is that important. The person that stays around the longest, that consistently shows up, is going to get the best results, clearly. However, to stay consistent, you need to do all the other stuff, all the other things that we talked about in this podcast, because if you don't, you're not going to stay consistent, because if you don't get results and you don't feel like you're progressing or developing or getting that return on your investment, most people, like I talked about, don't have the patience or the foresight to say, you know what? I'm still being really healthy. I'm still doing a lot of good for my body. Unfortunately, for most people, that's not enough. You might find a 10% of people that don't see a massive return on their investment, but they love exercise. They feel relatively healthy and they look pretty good. So they keep doing it, right? But for most other people that aren't seeing results, that don't feel like they're getting a massive return on what they're doing and the time they're spending, they'll justify where that time can be spent. They'll find a reason, an excuse of placing that time into something that gives them a greater return, quote unquote, on something that they don't really value. And that's a shame because your health, your mindset, your emotional well-being, your physical well-being, your biofeedback markers are just so important to your quality of life and well-being that it really shouldn't be neglected or undervalued. It's that important. It's that, as we saw over the last couple of years, like not taking care of our health has done people a lot of damage, right? It has increased anxiety, increased suicide, increased depression, increased poor health, higher rates of obesity, incredible speed up of obesity and overweight individuals in our population. Just so bad. And we know how detrimental that is to health span and lifespan, where people that, you know, don't actually look into that, like they have no idea that they just cut their life short by 5 to 10 years, most likely. Like, it's just that lack of awareness is very sad. And if you want to be around a long time and you know that hurt from maybe losing somebody earlier than you should have, for a slew of reasons, like you should want to take care of your health, so you can live a long time and you can thrive doing so. So you don't put that burden on other people, and that you really, you know, take that in consideration and you say, you know what, I want to be a healthy, really strong example of what healthy looks like, healthy across the board. And I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to be someone who is in pain long term, and I want to do it the right way. And this is the right way to do it. Putting on muscle and training with this type of mentality is a really good way of doing it. And once you have this protective muscle, it's really hard to lose it unless you're a jackass with it and you completely, you know, neglect all this stuff again and you go back to what you were doing previously. But once you have a good base built, you can have a lot more creativity with your workouts. You can be way less consistent, ironically, and maybe do 2 or 3 workouts a week full body. Then you can go surfing and you can go skiing and you can go for hikes and you can just do fun stuff and you can engage in play. And you really keep a good, strong-looking physique, right? It becomes so much easier to maintain once you build that muscle. So that's why I really advocate people putting on some lean muscle tissue, getting a lot stronger, because once that's done, you've done the hard work. And that's going to take some time. Yes, if we're talking about 10 pounds of lean muscle in 12 months, doesn't stop there. When you're new to the gym, you know, give yourself some years. You know, have some fun with it. Get stronger, be motivated with some performance goals, and love seeing the development that you're making. So guys, hope you enjoyed the podcast. Like always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, rate the podcast, share the podcast. Obviously, that's the only way that this podcast progresses is when you guys share it with other people. You know, I can share it with my audience. It's great. You're already listening. Fantastic. But again, share it so your friends, family, and other people in your network see it. That way, this value can hit more people. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Fear Being Average podcast.